Hey everyone, Nathan Prince here.
And I'm Michael Tennant, and we are here to talk about all things theater.
Seeing behind the scenes, working with kind of all different types of people and talents.
So Nathan here, I'm going to say, is the producer at Legendary Productions, and his theater company is, in fact, as it says, completely legendary.
Oh, thanks, Michael. And since Mike tagged me, I'll tag him. Mike is the producer, owner of Play With Your Food Productions, Mike, or is it just Play With Your Food?
Either one is fine.
Yeah, they're both productions, I guess.
So. Yes, I guess they are.
He's the creative genius behind that. It's a dinner theater. They do a lot of fun theater. And Mike, actually, he's a playwright, does a lot of original work as well, has a few published productions.
Yeah, so but Nathan and I, we have our theaters in different towns. I'm out in Hemet. He is out in Redlands. But we've been working together for so many years, and we've always like to get together and just talk shop and compare notes. And so we figured, maybe try a podcast while we're at it. But Nathan, one of the questions that I always get from people, or you always see just people interested in theater, inevitably they want to direct their own shows, or sometimes they even want to start up their own theater company. Or if not a whole company, maybe at least a performing arts troupe or a little group that does something. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about on this first episode. How do you go about getting a theater group up and running? Or if you're really ambitious, want more than a group, want to start your own theater, what are the steps in that? And we've both done that, and there's a lot of pitfalls along the way, and there's a lot of
hidden surprises
that you wish you would stay hidden. And with all the successes, there's like a million failures that nobody wants to talk about. So I figured maybe that's just what we talk about today.
Yeah, let's tag into that. So first, I want to start off, before you start an adventure like that, and I have no business degree, it's all been just by trial and error. But the number one thing I think that is most important, I want to just tag in on that real quick, is just say teamwork. I think teamwork, having people there that are better than you, better at certain things than you, come together as a team to create camaraderie. And just to let you know, I have a business partner with Legendary Productions, Steve Simons, and he's kind of the business side of the theater. He's the, I'll say, the business genius when it comes to that. But I think the most important thing is to pick your team and pick the people that are going to be support you and help you, and really trust the team that you have to carry the weight. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is who's your teammates, and if you're doing it alone, how are you going to do that? Who's going to be your support? Because you do need that. There's days where you just want to quit and go, why did I do this? And I think it's very important to have a good team or someone that you can talk to just to encourage you, to help grow your ideas or bounce ideas off of. But second to that, which I think is a pretty close second, would be, what type of theater do you want to be? What kind of shows do you want to do? What message do you want to send to the audience, to your cast, to your production teams? I think you really need to have a foundation on that. And for Legendary, our motto is change, affect, move. And that's not just for the audience, but it impacts them greatly. And they're coming just to see a show, to smile, to be humbled, to be encouraged, sometimes just to be taken out of this crazy world. I think that is probably what's, I think, most important in picking your motto, what your desire is for your production, not just to put on shows. Anyone can just put on shows, but the purpose behind it, I think, is what's most important. And that kind of motto for Legendary, the drive of the change, affect, move, it really does impact everybody in the process. It could, like I said, it could be a smile. But I think what we need to think about when we're talking about that is, in this world of just mass, I'll say, confusion, there's so many different cultures, religions, belief systems. I think really separating art from that is very important. So when you come together, I tell the cast, and Steve and I tell the cast all the time, when you come into the theater, leave your politics outside, leave your religion, leave it outside the doors. When you come in, come together so we can create art together and create unity through art. And that's where that change effect move comes in. It's not pushing an agenda or a belief system. It's about just coming together to do the best you can to create art.
I think that's almost funny that you started off with your first point, because we didn't compare notes really before we talked, and I had the exact same one. Like, for the first thing is to, I think, what did you say, build your team?
Teamwork.
And mine was just kind of in my head was to establish relationships with people. I mean, unless you can do everything, and unless you can do the set and the costumes and the lights and the ticket sales and, you know, everything else that's got to be done, you've got to have relationships with people that can help you out there.
Well, and even if you can do everything, like, and I know a lot of talented people. I'm not one of those. I can't even draw stick figures. But even if you can do it all, you will get burnt out. You can, how many shows can you sustain by doing everything? And you're lying to yourself if you really say that there's not someone better than you in something. Even though I feel like I'm good at certain things, there is someone that can either contribute, make it better, add perspective. And the key, I do believe, and you can talk to anybody in the entertainment industry as a whole, if you want to get burnt out, try doing it all yourself, and it won't last. It's not going to last. You'll have fun the first few times and go, woo, and just get so excited. But then the reality comes in where you go, I need help. And by that point, you probably already messed up because you don't have that foundation, that network, like you said, to reach out to encourage, inspire, to sometimes just say, well done, keep pushing forward, good job, high five.
Yeah, so and that group of people that you surround yourself, they're the ones that will keep you going. I mean, you keep each other going. You cheer each other on. It's everybody's celebration when you do well. And so I guess that would be the first point is find the other people that will join you in this endeavor right there. And then, you know, you kind of said, like, okay, what kind of theater do we want to be? What kind of shows do we want to put on? Are we going to go for the big guns right away? Are you going to start off small? I mean, you could do some effective theater with no money, no set, if you've got some improv skills.
Yep.
You know, one person and a guitar, or, you know, just you can start off very small and grow into something and just get yourself established, depending on whatever level that you're at there.
Well, to mention something along those lines, I think no matter if it's one person, a one-person cast, or 15 to 50-person, 60-person cast, and on up, I think doing your best every time is key to being successful. Because people that come see it, if you're proud of your work, and people come see it, they'll be proud of your work, then word of mouth spreads, and then people start saying, wow, look at that quality. Look at how much they invested into that. So no matter how big or small a production is, you're still doing your best every time. And I think that's what really ties people into really investing, not just financially, but on a networking level as well, just seeing, wow, they really go all out. Even if you have only a dollar, if you put that dollar towards it and it's successful and you do your best, that's really what matters.
So when you were starting Legendary here and you're looking for a location, how did you end up choosing this spot right here? I mean, and you just kind of head into, like, you know, if other people are looking for a location, where's a spot that they can use?
Well, the first thing that happened, we were actually renting a small, actually it was at the Redlands Bowl. They have an office there. We were in upstairs, kind of an attic, and it sat 68, and we did full-on sets in there with an 8-foot ceiling. We did full-on sets, like, went all out. And then it happened really because of Steve, actually. We were talking, and one day he's like, hey, I looked at this property in Redlands, and I was like, awesome. And, oh, to go back to something else, the reason we chose Redlands, and I think this is important, it goes back to your networking. People that are there to support you, people that you have connections with, where your talent's at, where home is. I think that's important to try to find a place, and not saying you can't just go drop a pin on a map somewhere and go create all this, but it goes back to our first statement as far as networking, having a team. But I think that's what was really big in this space that we're in now with Legendary. Steve found it, and he was like, I found this space, we want to go do a walkthrough. And it really came out of, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but we weren't trying to move into a new location, but rental's expensive, and we had to cram all our time into certain hours. And if we went above, there was a lot more cost to that. So we were talking about just, he and I were just talking about, hey, maybe we should find a space that we could have unlimited hours in there. And after 10 o'clock, we don't have to pay a little extra. And the Bowl was amazing with that. They gave us really good deals and worked with us on that. But we really wanted our own space so we could have tech load-ins and then be able to have a true tech week, be able to perform when we wanted to. We could do longer runs or shorter runs, do more shows in a week. So that's kind of where that all started. So I truly believe you could perform anywhere. You could go on a street corner and perform if you do your best and put your passion and energy into it.
And the point is that you didn't just start off here. Nathan's got a really, really nice theater here right now, but you didn't just start off here. You started off, you didn't even own a space. You just kind of rented what you could, and then you worked your way up here. And I think that's a good point for anybody who's just starting off. It's like, you want to start your theater group. You don't necessarily have to have an ownership of a space, just a space that you can use. And again, that comes with, I think, establishing the relationships there.
Well, and I want to encourage, just not the space, but I want to encourage listeners that if you have a dream, whether it be a theater or production company, if you have a dream and you want to build the Taj Mahal and perform in it, I want to encourage you, don't let anything hold you back. If you're a part of other theater groups, if you're a part of other businesses, it's okay if you branch out and chase your own dream. The time is now. Don't keep putting it off. And I did for a couple of years. I kept putting it off going, no, I'm content. I'm working at another theater company. I was the artistic producer at, and I traveled around and worked at other theaters. And I was chasing other people's dreams, which isn't bad to be a part of the cog or part of the system. But if you have that dream and want to chase your own dream, I encourage you, we encourage you and challenge you, do it, run, go for it. And don't let voice of doubt, don't let others' voice of doubt knock you down or hold you back. Because there was a little bit, and to be frank and honest with you guys, it was very hard to do that because I felt like I was not loyal, I was betraying people. So I think the biggest first step in finding a place was just going for it. And I want to encourage you more than anything to chase your dreams. My daughter actually said to me in the car one day, we were driving and from the back seat, she's like, hey Dad, thank you so much. I really appreciate you showing us how to chase your dreams. And that was probably one of the most valuable sentences I've ever heard in my entire life. So I want to encourage people that are listening to just go for it. If it's a theater, if it's any type of art or gift or business, run with it. Challenge yourself. And don't let voice of doubt or others' voice of doubt knock you down and hold you back.
But let's get to brass tacks now, because the voice of doubt is often accompanied with the challenge of, how am I going to pay for all this? So it's like we want to follow our dreams, and then we start to see the bills that stack up in forming a theater company or putting on a show even. And I remember when I was taking over Play With Your Food, and I did take it over from another couple. They had started it up, and they had gone about 10 seasons. And so it was a very cool thing for me to step into, because they already had an established audience, and they had a space that they were performing in. And they were, just getting a little older, and they decided that it was getting a little bit rough to run a theater company, and they wanted to do other stuff. They wanted to travel the country. So they kind of stepped out and just let me step in. And their names were Laura and Murray, and just super cool for just passing that off to me. So I stepped in there, but then I had no idea the hidden expenses that were going to come my way. And you think about putting on a show, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to need to pay some licensing fees and maybe get some costumes and some paint for the set. And even if I'm keeping it on the low end, what could I possibly need here? And then all the stuff that you don't think about, it's like, okay, so I got to go down and get a business license. But you can't just get a business license. You're going to come up with a fictitious business name. But to get the fictitious business name, which is a fee, and the business license is a fee, then you have to run an ad in the paper, which is another fee, and make sure that nobody else has that fictitious business name.
And then insurance,
which you ever tried, to get insurance for a theater. that is some of the craziest stuff, especially when you're talking to an insurance broker and you're trying to explain to them the stuff that you do. And they're like, wait a minute. So is there a, there could be potential sword fighting. There could be potential pyrotechnics. There could be, you know, how many audience members, how many rehearsals, how many. And I've had a couple insurance people, agencies, they wouldn't even quote me a price. It was so hard to find finally somebody that would insure me for that. And then just other things like, you know, getting a post office box and a reservation line and just all these little things that you don't think about. And I remember I was probably, I don't know, I think I was a couple $1,000s into it before I could even think about paying for the expenses of a show, before I could even think about buying scripts or anything.
Well, ticketing systems, credit card payment fees, there's a lot of fees when it comes to building the theater. Very true.
And again, that's why we want to talk about this today, just because there's... We do hear so many people that would like to go out and start a theater company, but it's definitely something that you kind of work your way up to.
Yep.
Again, establish that group of people, figure out what type of shows you want to do, and every time, you know, just grow a little bit. Even like Nathan did. He didn't just come to have this space. He really worked his way up into it, and this is a really cool space that we're actually in this in your theater right now recording.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Here. So all those hidden expenses, I don't know, how do you go about, Nathan? We just told everybody to choose their team, establish the relationships. What do you go about looking for people that you want to bring us alongside you?
For me, it's the passion, their motivation and passion. Something I tell people all the time. With the production teams and staff that we have here, I think it's very key to make sure that, for example, I'll use this as an example. When a set designer is designing a set for you and you give them your ideas, what you're looking for. And like I said, I can't even draw stick figures. So I do chicken scratch. I talk it out. And I think what's key is someone that doesn't say no. Someone that doesn't go, nope, can't do that. I don't like that. I don't work well with that. If you say that to me, oh, you can't do that there. You can't have that. We're doing it. We're going for it. Now we're definitely going for it. But I think the key to that is someone that says, well, let's figure it out. And I, for me, the biggest, I'll say discouraging thing is when I have to second guess someone that's a part of the team. And I know you and I have talked about this. Steve and I have talked about this. But I think it's very important to have someone on the team, if they say no, it's that you trust that they're saying no for a right reason. I don't like having to go, wait, why are they saying no? What's their motivation? So in the past, and not naming names, but there's been some people that have worked for me and us that have designed sets. And I'm like, hey, so we can't do that. And then on the way home that night, I'm driving home, I'm like, are they saying no because they don't want to build it? Because they don't want to put the effort in to make it happen? So that's very discouraging. So I think it's key to make a team with people that you could trust. If they say no, then you could just go, okay, so what do we do instead? Or, okay, forget it. We'll do something else. We'll make it work. So that's probably the most important thing for me as a producer, director, and just even as a manager.
I have to say, and this may be a fault of my own. I'm sure it is a fault of my own. I'm sure, you know, I will take flack from the listeners, but I'm being honest. I don't like the word no.
No, me
neither. I don't think any creative people like the word no. And yeah, that's why I think both of our theaters are for profit. I don't know if I could do, like, be the head of a nonprofit organization, because then I would have a board and the board might tell me no.
Well, and that is tricky for us, because we... At Legendary, we actually own a Ben Nye Makeup. We're one of the main distributors for that. And that's for profit. And then we have a costume company called Threads under the kind of the scope of Legendary Productions. We have a Threads company and then Ben Nye Makeup. So our theater is actually nonprofit, but our board is like our advisory board is made up of people that aren't no-sayers. They're, how do we do this, sayers? And I think that's key for any board that you do have or any team that you put together is have people that aren't, they don't say no, they say, this can't work, but how do we make it work, you know? And I think that's what's key about it.
Yeah, it's not that I have to have yes men. It's nope. just that I just don't want people to say no.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I don't know how that works, but we'll figure it out.
Well, it's I think it's no with a comma. No, comma, can we try this? Can we make this work? I think that's really what it is. No, I do not like the word no. Or when they say, oh, we can't do that. For Mamma Mia, we're producing and we're opening actually August 20th coming up. And for the set design, we just painted like cobblestone on the stage. And the front 4 feet of our stage, we're actually building a pool. So we could have an ocean on the front of our stage. So it looks like a shoreline. So when the audience comes in, they come into this island. They're watching the show as an audience member from the ocean. So there's going to be waves in the pool and we're going to have scents going around. So it smells like saltwater ocean. So when I first said it, everyone in our production meeting was like, huh? And actually Zach Michael, who's at Legendary, he's our special projects coordinator. He was like, okay. He was like, all right. So he was really stoked to do it and started going online, looking up filters and how do we line this big pool we're going to have to build out of nothing. So when he said that, that's the affirmation that makes, I'll say, creative people go, whoa, yeah. It's like you're just like, it excites you.
I think, you know what, that's the main reason right there, the affirmation. That's the main reason I don't like that no.
Mm-hmm. Shuts you down.
It shuts you down. I think, you know, you get all excited about a creative idea and then no. And like, yeah. What do you mean? No, this is a fantastic idea. But I mean, artists, man, we're a pain.
Yes, we are.
But I think, you know, it goes back to what you're saying, though. It's just, I don't know. You feel that passion about it. You get so excited. And most people, I think they don't know when they tell you no, this is something, man, you may have been excited for this for a week. It's keeping you up at night. You're brainstorming about it. And then just, no.
Well, and you see the overall picture, like as a director or producer, you look at you're not very myopic. You look at the entire picture. And sometimes when you bring it forward to people and they go, no, it's because that they're looking at it very tunnel vision. They're not looking at the overall spectrum of things. And to point out, since you point out a little weakness of yours, as far as you don't like no's, neither do I. But something that for me and for, I'll say, the partnership that I have with Steve at Legendary is he does the finances because I know, Mike, you run your theater on your own. I mean, you have teams that support you and you're very good at doing what I can't do. I'm not good at adding business with the creative side. I am not good at that because I'll go, okay, our budget, we'll say it's $50,000. And I know that if I want to build a pool or build this starry sky or this contraption or add some plus to the show to make it immersive, I won't do it because I'm like, oh, that's going to be $5,000. We can't do it. It'll ruin our budget. So for me, I have to separate myself from the business side. And that's where Steve is phenomenal. Like I throw ideas out and we talk about both things. But for me, I need someone that goes, okay, we'll figure that out. And Steve, if he says no, that's a prime example of, he's like, no, we can't do that. There's no hidden agenda. There's no secret motivation why he said no. It's just not possible. So then I could take what I want to do and adapt and create on that. And I know you've done very well at making both of those work for you, the creative side and the business side, which that in itself is a gift because I've tried to do both and I can't. I shut down my creative side and I go, oh. And also, I hate paying bills. So that's also part of it, of course. But so Steve takes care of that side of it. But again, I think it's going back to kind of what I was talking about. I think finding the team and how you pick that team is finding people that don't say no. Or if they do, there's a comma behind it. No, how about this? Or okay, I like that idea, but how do we adapt or build it to work in our space? Or how do we work with the cast on that or in our budget? So I think that's really how I personally have gone about picking a team. People that don't say no, or if they do, there's a comma behind it on what else can we do that's like that then. So
absolutely. And I it stuck in my head, you know, what you said about it's the passion. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I remember so many times you come up with passionate people, and they may not be the best at what they're doing yet. You know, they may come in and they may not have all the experience, but they do have that passion. They will be there when they need to be there. They'll show up early. They'll stay late. They will learn what they need to learn. They're just driven people, and they just want to be a part of something. And I think that's huge to recognize, because, you know, we're all there. We're all growing, and hopefully artists never stop growing. And hopefully the challenges will still come, and you're growing through this all together. But yeah, the passion, the ability to work together, and then of course, you know, the raw talent, and choosing people that bring something to the table that maybe you don't necessarily have, as you mentioned. One of my biggest weaknesses is trying to build a set and things like that. And that is where my mind just doesn't work. So it's always good to have, if I can find other people that are creative to do that, is a huge help to me, because I absolutely cannot. Now, you mentioned your last budget being $50,000, and for the show that you're doing. And I want to look back to other people that are just kind of starting off, and they don't. And do you remember those days when we didn't even have a budget?
Yes,
absolutely. On either shows that we worked on together or stuff that we did on our own. And there was like no money, and we're trying to just pull stuff from wherever we could, beg, borrow, steal. And yet we were still able to make something happen.
And it goes back to that word passion and doing your best. I mean, I can tell you, I've done shows in the past and maybe in the future to come with certain projects that we're working on. But I've had productions where $400 or my credit card or Steve's credit card has been our budget. Or, I think it's all about doing your best. And I think people will receive that. The cast receives it. The audience receives it. But definitely, I don't think budget should ever be a deterrent. If you need to do it in your garage and film it and then put it on YouTube, do it. Build that momentum. Show people what you're willing to do and how hard you're willing to work.
Almost the irony is, you know, I went to college and took some theater classes and such, and the stuff that I learned in there was just the exact opposite of in some ways from what you would expect. I mean, you know, you're taught kind of theater behavior and the way that a show should be directed and the way that a show should be produced, and then you get out into the real world and you see, like, sometimes it does mean doing a rehearsal in the garage. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, I know that there are some highbrow people that would be like, what do you mean you're going to rehearse in the garage? We're going to do a rehearsal in the front yard today because we don't quite have the space. And you know, you could really get looked down on for that. But you know what? You're starting out and you're doing what you have to do. And sometimes it may be like that. I mean, I have definitely, I can say I've done a rehearsal in the backyard. I've done a few rehearsals in the backyard for a show. And, you know, don't knock it. It may be something that you need to do at some point in time.
Well, I think it's something that you could take away. And you never know through a rehearsal process. You don't know what you're going to take from that. The fact that you're outside, like we've done, if the rental space wasn't available in the beginning of Legendary, we would do it outside. We would be like, we're outside today. Or we would beg, borrow, and say, can we use this like multi-purpose rooms? Like, we would just ask people, use churches to go into their kind of fellowship hall areas and just rehearse. And I think some of those experiences, I've actually did it in an office that was, like, very small. We set chairs up and did a read-through, and we sat in the office and did our kind of talked about our character building and development, did some music rehearsals inside small offices just to make it work. And it goes back to that word passion. And just to say something about that, when I used to coach basketball, even when I played basketball and football, I kind of carried that over to theater as well, where I don't care if you're a superstar. I don't care if you're the best player on the team. If you come in and you have a heart for the theater or sports or whatever, what we're talking about, or if you're doing your best, that to me shines brighter sometimes than someone that, we'll just say, has been on Broadway. We've had people come to our doors that have done tours and done Broadway, and they're amazing. And yes, we've used some of them, and sometimes we don't use them because they're not right for the overall picture of the show or what we're looking for. But sometimes it's about the person that's willing to give their all than just come in and do okay and still be great. And I think that's key with production teams, with casting, all of that. I think that's so important. And when your cast shows up and you're sitting there and you're stressed about being outside or being in a garage or being in a small office, and the cast is just lighting it up, doing their best, having fun, it really affirms and makes you, that word affirms again, it makes you go, wow, I truly, this is great. And look at the chemistry we built now. Look at the camaraderie we had in this moment of a little bit of a weird rehearsal process. And I think at the end of it, you look back and you go, wow, we were supposed to do that. That was supposed to happen that way. And it seems to always work out that way. And something that I feel legendary has been really blessed with is the fact that when we cast a show, for me, that could come on maybe another podcast. We'll get into casting. But it's such a hard process. But when you pick a cast, it always seems to work out to be the cast that you needed for that show in that moment and that time. And I think that's huge. And we'll cover a lot more of that hopefully later on in some of our podcasts about casting.
And just going back to, you know, something you said about you've got the actors and they're all just doing the best job that they can and having fun. And yet you're in the garage or you're in a house. And, you know, I mean, you don't need a building to put on a show. Nope. You need a cast and you need an audience. And that can really be done in so many different places. I mean, I've seen a shows just, you know, performed at the local library and or at churches, like you said, just on a church stage or in the fellowship hall. And before I took over Play With Your Food, like I said, we stepped into this space that the previous owners already had, but they were actually working in restaurants before they started with this, you know, in the space that they have. They would partner up with the restaurant and just do a show in the back room, and the restaurant would serve the food. And so, man, you can find so many different choices for a space right there. So I think we're about coming up on the end of our time there.
And sweet. This was awesome. A good first launch to get to know each other. And hopefully the next podcast, we can talk a little bit about kind of our starts and what got us going a little bit more in depth about who we are and what we're working on, and just give some perspective. And again, it's perspective. It's all about coming together to, like I said, unity. Come together, give some ideas, encourage you guys, and also just a fun time for us to chat and hang out.
Yeah, and just closing thoughts for anybody who's listening and were interested and started their own theater group or just even a troupe, you know, go for it. Just look at the challenges laid out for yourself. Tackle a few of them at a time, but most importantly, surround yourself with your team, with your passionate people, and just take steps and grow and have fun, and don't let anything stop you.
Check out our podcast. Check out our website. We're going to have apps coming out. We're going to be launching this thing, going big, going strong. And feel free to reach out to us, and we'll get all that information to you coming up. Peace out.
Peace out.